Welcome to Too Many Podcasts, the podcast about podcasts. Now, podcasting from the Sherpa Chalet on Mount Podcastia, here's your host, Jim, the podcast Sherpa.
Thank you so much, Mr. Bruce, and thanks to everybody for tuning in to listen to Too Many Podcasts this week. It's me, Jim, your personal podcast Sherpa. And guess what? It's a theme week.
It's theme week. It's theme week. It's theme week.
And this week's theme is
money. Making that money. Making those coins. Making that dough. Cashing in that moolah.
You get the idea. Before we get into our show, just wanted to let you know a little piece of good news. This podcast is now available on iHeartRadio. So if you have the app, you can just download it and look for the show and subscribe to it. And even if you're listening online, I noticed that they actually have a little comment section on the bottom. So if you're liking an episode, I'd love to hear what your thoughts are. If you're not sending me emails at jimthepodcastsherpa@gmail.com, or on one of our social media outlets. So you can just do it right there after you're listening. And there's a lot of great stuff on iHeartRadio. Also, we've got a new sponsor this week, and you'll be hearing that commercial a little bit later on. So I hope you enjoy today's interview.
Who's our guest today, Sherpa?
If I told you that you'd be getting information on how to make money from a guy named Apple, you'd probably think that I was crazy. Well, I am, but that's beside the point. And if I told you, you would be getting information on how to make money from a 20-year-old, you'd look at me like there was something wrong with me. Okay, you got me there on two counts. Let's try and find out a better way to say this. Okay, I got it. His name is Apple Crider. He hosts a podcast called Young Smart Money, and it's definitely worth checking out. And we had a great conversation this week. And here are the highlights from our conversation down in the conference room at the Sherpa Chalet. Hey, everybody. We're down here in the conference room in the Sherpa Chalet. My guest hosts the podcast, Young Smart Money, the stories and struggles of successful 6, 7, and 8-figure online entrepreneurs. Now, what's a little bit unusual or different about my guest today is he's only 20 years old and he's still in college and he's running a business while he's in college. So I don't think you meet too many people that are like that. So I think you're going to enjoy my guest today. Ladies and gentlemen, my guest, Mr. Apple Crider. Welcome.
Yeah, thank you so much, Jim. It's a pleasure to be here, man. I'm stoked.
Why don't you tell us a little bit, we'll get this out of the way, about your name, Apple, where you got that from.
For sure. So everybody always asks about that. The story's not super exciting, but how it goes is in second grade, a kid thought Andrew Crider sounded like apple cider. And being a second grader, I mean, I thought Apple was a pretty cool nickname to have. So from about second grade to eighth grade, I was Apple Crider, and then, or Apple Cider rather. And then once I hit high school, dropped the cider, just became Apple. And now I've just been rolling with it ever since. Now it works for branding, and it's just great to, I feel like I've really embraced like Apple as a name. I feel like I've really grown into it. So now I'm just rolling with it.
Just as long as the computer people don't come after you, I guess you're all right then, right?
Exactly, exactly. I'm being careful about my branding and like companies and stuff because I don't want to infringe on anything.
Okay. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, for sure. So like you said, I'm 20 years old. I'm a college student right now at the University of Wisconsin at Madison. So go Badgers. And basically, I got started in the world of social media and whatnot. I'm pretty late in the game. Actually, throughout all of high school, I did not have social media, wasn't on Instagram, wasn't on Snapchat. And I mean, that was when like that was just like popping off for the first time. So all my friends were on these social media platforms. And I was just kind of like the guy who was like, if you want to talk to me, like I'll be over here, but come talk to me in person. Like I don't need all this. I don't need to like be online all the time. I would rather just like interact with people in person. So I just kind of stayed away from that whole side of things until I got to college. And once I got to college, I sort of realized that I wasn't really super fulfilled with my classes, wasn't really having a lot of fun, was planning on being a computer programmer because that's what my dad did. And he makes a decent amount of money. So I was like, well, he seems like he's having a decent life. So let's just go and do that with my life. And kind of realized pretty quickly that that's not what I enjoyed doing, but found a passion in personal finance, which led me to start making YouTube videos on personal finance, which led me into the social media sphere for the first time. And then from there, sort of progressed into Instagram, started a sort of social media marketing agency where I was working with influencers to help them build their brands online. And then transitioning from that into the podcast, what we're doing right now. And that pretty much brings us up to speed with the overall high level picture of what I've been up to.
Okay. So when you were in college, about that time, when you really got interested in about money and how to make it and what to do with it?
Yeah, it had always been something that kind of been on the back burner for me. I'd always been interested in investing and in like building credit, personal finance, because since the age of about 12, I've been working summer jobs. My uncle actually owns a campground here in rural Minnesota. So I'd been working for him since I was like 10, 11, 12 years old. And so I've been making money, saving it. I'm really not somebody who enjoys spending money all that much unless it's on experiences or protein bars or LaCroix. Those are like my main three expenses right now. And so I really hadn't been spending my money. So I just had all this money in a savings account. And I got to the age of about 16, 17, and I was kind of like, well, what can I do with all this? Like, I feel like I could be doing something with it that's not just like letting it sit here, earning like 0.05% interest every single year. So I started doing some homework, watching some YouTube videos, doing some research, stumbled on the world of investing, got super fascinated with that. I was just like diving in, learning all that I could, opening up my Roth IRA, getting that maxed out every single year, and just building that financial baseline. And then from there, I started like sharing what I was doing with my friends, but they were all like, dude, chill out. I'm like 16 years old. I don't need to worry about a Roth IRA. I don't even think about what that is. I don't care about retirement. Like, I'm just living for today. So nobody wanted to listen to me. So that's sort of why I turned to YouTube and started making videos, because I'm like, I want to talk about this stuff. I don't really care if anybody wants to listen to me. I just like want to talk about it. So I'm just going to like do this over here. I told my friends about it. I'm like, if you guys want to watch it, that's cool. If not, totally cool. I'm just going to be doing my thing over here. So I started doing that. It never really took off because I was more in the game to just like, I was making YouTube videos just because it was what I like to do. I wasn't really trying to like play the algorithm or anything. So I was just doing that for a while, had some fun with it. And then yeah, transitioned into more of the Instagram side of things and then the podcasting.
Wow. And now a lot of your show, you're doing interviews with entrepreneurs, and a lot of them really started from nothing or a bad situation in their life. And they really just kind of skyrocketed through, you know, whatever field they chose to.
Yeah.
Was there any stories that were particularly inspiring for you personally?
Well, my favorite interview by far has been with somebody who I've looked up to since the beginning of middle school, which is, it's crazy. I never in a million years thought I would get to interview this person. Even thinking about it now just like gives me chills that I was able to interview her. And her name is Syra, and she's a Grammy award-winning rapper. She won a Grammy back in 2013 off of a song called Bangarang, which I'm sure a lot of you guys would recognize if you heard it. But I never in a million years thought I would get to interview her, because she was like in middle school, she was one of the only artists that I listened to her music. Like, I didn't listen to like anyone except for her. And it's crazy how it happened, because I was at a conference in January in Nashville, and I met somebody at that conference. His name was Richie Norton. And he's a super cool guy. Like, Richie Norton, probably second favorite interview ever. But he's doing crazy, crazy things. And in his Instagram story one day after the event, I saw he was hanging out with Syra, and I was like, Richie, there is no way that you know Syra. Like, she's a Grammy award winning rapper. Like, one of my favorite people ever. Like, there's no way you know her. And he's like, yeah, we're tight. We gave TED Talks together in Moldova. And I was like, what are the odds? Like, what are the odds? There's a random dude that I met at an event, gave a TED Talk with Syra in Moldova. I'm like, mind is blown. So he says, like, in that message, he's like, hey, do you want to have her on your podcast? And at that point, my mind was just completely blown. I'm like, there is no way I'm about to interview Syra on my podcast. So he literally, like, 2 minutes later, I got a text on my phone saying, hey, it's Syra. Let's get this podcast lined up. And I, at that point, I'm just floored. I'm like, I'm in a dream right now. This can't be reality. Like, there's no way that this is actually happening. So that interview was phenomenal, because she came from some serious, serious struggles. I mean, from being abducted as a child to really having like no family to speak of. She went through some crazy, crazy stuff. And being able to see where she's come to now, because she was a Grammy award-winning rapper. Now she's transitioned into a celebrity life coach. So she's working with like huge, huge names like Juicy J to like get their life in order, because now they're like a famous person with all this like wealth and quote unquote success. But like, do they feel fulfilled about life? That's what she's there to do, and to sort of help guide them to that fulfillment. So that interview, I still go back and listen to that very regularly, because I mean, she just is such an intelligent and wise and just like really grounded human being. And I still can't fathom the fact that I was able to interview her and the fact that our paths would cross after like idolizing her throughout all of middle school. It's still crazy to think about.
Now, out of like the people that you interviewed that went along this path,
yeah,
did you tend to notice like certain characteristics that they had in common?
Absolutely. So there's a couple key things that I have seen throughout like all of the people that I've interviewed, the first of which is focus. I mean, like the biggest thing that I see sets apart the people that I'm interviewing from the people that are like 16, 17, 18 and feeling lost and feeling stuck and feeling like they're not making progress is focus, hands down. Because I've been guilty of this myself, and I'm still guilty of this pretty regularly. I'm the first to admit that. Like, focusing on one thing is tough. I mean, there's so much to be had out there. I mean, just looking on social media, you see people succeeding in all areas of life. Like, you see people succeeding in like e-commerce and in social media and in like all of these different areas where somebody could have the potential to go out there and to really build something for themselves. And that's like crazy for like an 18-year-old who like gets exposed to the world of like online business for the first time. They're like a kid in a candy shop. Like, there's so much like to grab, and there's so many cool things that it's like, it's tough to just like be like, okay, let me pick one thing and just try that one thing. And I'm like the first to admit that I was so guilty of this. At one point, I'd say about 9 months ago, I was just so overwhelmed. I couldn't sleep at night. I couldn't think. Like, I just had so many thoughts in my head. I was working on so many different things. It was driving me crazy. So one of my friends said, you know what you got to do is you got to write down every project that you're working on and prioritize them. And I was like, all right, let's do it. So I went to a whiteboard, this huge whiteboard in my room, and I started writing down all the projects I was working on. And I wrote down 26 things. I was doing 26 different things. It was crazy. I had no focus. I was doing a million things. I was doing none of them well. And it was just like driving me crazy. Like, I was moving nowhere. I was spinning my wheels, and I felt like I was working so, so, so hard. And I was, but I just wasn't. My energy, it wasn't linear. It was just so spread out that I wasn't moving anywhere. I was like trying to go everywhere, and I was just like staying in one place. So once I did that, I like prioritized all the things based on, I think I based them on how much money they had the potential to make me, how much time they were going to take of me, and how they made me feel. So I like ranked them on all three of these factors. And then based on all those rankings, I sort of determined which three. I had to limit myself to three. I said, I'm going to pick three. I'm going to do those three things extremely well. And the other 23 things I'm going to avoid at all costs. Okay. I didn't say I'm going to like make those things a secondary priority. I said, if those things are not my top three, they are not coming anywhere near me. Like, if I have an opportunity to do one of those things, it's a hard pass. Like, it is a no, no, no. I'm not taking any steps towards any of those things. It is those three things, and it is nothing else. So that was a really beneficial exercise for me. And it really gave me a lot of clarity as to like what was actually important to me and where I actually wanted to go, like directionally with what I wanted to do. So focus, hugely, hugely important. Also very important is having goals. I see a lot of young people especially getting started on things like they might start a podcast, or they might start selling on Amazon, or they might start like any number of things, but they don't have a goal in mind. They start a podcast, they ask me for advice. The first question I ask them is like, okay, why did you start a podcast? Like, what's your objective here? And they say, oh, well, I saw so-and-so started a podcast and they were doing well. And I'm like, that's great. That's a true fact. But like, why are you starting a podcast? Like, that doesn't answer the question. So having a clear goal in mind and having a solid like foundation and like a vision of like where you want to go with this thing. And obviously that can change over time, but you need to know like, why are you doing this? Because if you don't have a reason, then when the times get tough, which they're going to get tough, I mean, nothing's like smooth sailing forever. So when the times get tough, you need to have that reason to fall back on, to think about like, why am I actually doing this? Like, because if you don't, then when times get tough, you're just going to quit and you're going to move on to the next shiny object. And then it's going to be easy for 2 weeks. It's going to get hard. You're going to quit and you're not going to see any success anywhere. So having that focus and having that reason behind what you're doing, and ideally a reason that goes beyond just yourself. I mean, when you're getting started, that's totally fine if like you're in a business to make money. I mean, that's what businesses do. They make money. So that's a great like starting point. But as time goes on, you're going to want to develop that why into something a little bit more meaningful, because if you want to get other people on board with your mission, it's going to have to be a little bit more sort of nuanced or have a little bit more to it than just like, I want to make more money for me, because it's going to be hard to rally people with that rallying cry of like, hey, help me make more money. I mean, nobody wants to hop on that train. So like, you have to make sure that your vision goes beyond just you and beyond just your bank account. And I mean, that can be any number of things, from helping people to succeed, to helping out a cause, to doing any number of things that go beyond just you and your personal finances. But having that vision that's bigger than yourself has been something that I have seen routinely. I mean, there's very few people that I see having massive success that are doing it just for themselves. So that's definitely another pattern that I've seen. But those are the biggest two by far. And the importance of mentors as well. Just having people who are in the place that you want to be, that you can look up to, even if they're not like in your physical presence, just having those people that you can sort of look up to and see what they're doing and learn from them. Because if you try to do it all yourself, like, you definitely can, but it's going to be a lot harder. Somebody I had on my show once compared it to, if you wanted to drive from New York to LA, you could do it without a map. Like, you could just get on the highway, start driving south, start driving west, and eventually you'd probably make it to LA if you followed the signs on the highway. I bet you could do it. But if you had a GPS that would tell you the fastest way to get there, I think you might get there a little bit quicker. So that's sort of the comparison that I see between mentors and not mentors, is like, do you want to have the GPS that tells you the fastest way to get to your destination, or do you just want to kind of like eyeball it, end up going in circles a couple times, hit some dead ends, but make it there eventually? So those are the three biggest things that I've seen routinely.
Well, on the topic of having someone to look up to, you actually had your mom on your podcast.
You've done your homework.
I try.
Yeah. So my mom is someone who started her own business about 10 years ago now. And she's a professional public speaker. She goes to events. She works with the government. She works with like large corporations like 3M. And she goes in, she coaches their leadership team. She coaches really just people in the company and helps them out with different like communication things. So her whole thing is like helping people with difficult conversations. That's what she focuses on. And she's been really, really helpful for me. She's kind of like a business coach that doesn't even like bill me, which is super cool, because she has all these answers. She's been running her own business for 10 years. So she knows a lot of the things that I don't, especially when it comes to like taxes, accounting, public speaking, now that I'm getting into that realm as well. So all of those things have been really, really helpful for me. And I'm so, so grateful to have her as someone in my corner who has been extremely, extremely helpful in just bringing to life everything that's happened in the last like 2 years.
Yeah, and I think that makes it easier for a younger person, especially when there's someone who they get the path that you're going on.
Yes.
So, you know, they can guide you. And then, you know, your parents usually want you to go in like a direction that they can understand too. So at least, you know, there's some empathy there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, parents, for the most part, parents want their kids to be safe. They don't want their kids to get hurt. Like, they don't want to see you fall down. So they're going to like push for the path that's going to have the lowest chance of you falling down and getting hurt. But having my mom in my corner, who's actually been through that and knows what it's like, she's definitely a huge advocate for me to go after the things that I'm passionate about, because she knows that like that's where she gets lit up the most, and that's what she wants for me.
Okay. And out of the people that you've interviewed, what would you think would be the best advice that you've gotten so far?
The best advice that I've gotten so far.
You can pick a couple of things. You don't have to narrow it down if you don't want to.
Okay. That's a really good question. Well, one thing that I really like is the idea that you shouldn't be majoring in minors. Okay. And this is something that one of my guests brought up to me. I can't remember who it is off the top of my head, but I want to give them credit. So I'll try to think of it. But they said, don't major in minors. I know the quote originally came from Jim Rohn, but they said, don't major in minors. And what that basically means is, don't focus the majority of your attention on the little things, okay? When it comes to starting a podcast, don't focus the majority of your attention on like how your intro sounds or like the name of your show, like the little minute things that like will change over time. Because like Young Smart Money, like objectively, not a super fantastic name. Like I've made it into something, but before it was what it was now, like it wasn't really anything. I mean, same with like Amazon. Like, before Amazon was Amazon, it was a jungle and a river. Like, it wasn't like anything. So I think it's really important to not focus all of your attention on these minor things and focus your attention on the things that are actually going to move the needle. So in podcasting, like, focus on becoming a good interviewer. Focus on finding ways to like connect with people in a meaningful way. Focus on the things that are actually going to move the needle for you, not like the little minute things that are like moderately important. But I mean, focus on the things that are like the 80% of your results, okay? Like 80-20 rule. Focus on the 80% of the 20% of things that are going to give you the 80% of the results, not the 80% of things that are going to give you the 20% of results, okay? So like focus on like baking the cake. Don't focus on like what the icing looks like and like the sprinkles and stuff. Like focus on like making a really good cake, and that's what's going to matter, not like what color is the frosting. Okay. So that's one of the biggest things that I've taken away, because that's something that I was like super, super guilty of. I mean, I would spend like weeks thinking of like a website domain and like making my logo and my website. And like, I would do all that stuff before I even had like a piece of content. Like I was just building out all this stuff before I even had anything. Like with my social media marketing agency, I had learned the lesson by then. So like I started my agency with like no website, with no logo, with literally nothing, no business cards, like none of that stuff. And in the first month, I was turning like $4,000 profit with none of it. Okay. Like you don't need any of this stuff. Like focus on like actually providing value to people. And then once you have that part down, then you can focus on all this other like little minute stuff here and there, but like focus on what actually matters. In business, what matters is solving a problem. Focus on what problem you're solving. Solve that problem extremely well. Know who you're solving that problem for. Know where those people hang out. Find where they hang out. Tell them about yourself and your solution, and then give that solution to those people. Like that's the stuff that I have learned that has really made the biggest difference for me and has really allowed me to grow everything that I'm doing to a scale far beyond where I ever imagined it would go.
This one's for everybody listening to Too Many Podcasts today. Our new sponsor, Audible, is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. There are over 180,000 titles to choose from. If I were to list all of them, I'd need a couple of more podcasts to do that. So to download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/Sherpa. Again, that's audibletrial.com/Sherpa for your free audiobook. Okay, let's get back to my conversation with Apple. Now, nowadays we hear these two words uttered constantly, gig economy. Well, why do you think that that's so prevalent nowadays as opposed to like a few years back? Any idea?
Yeah, so I think the rise of the gig economy is something that I'm super on board with. Like I started driving for Postmates and Uber Eats like the day I turned 16, because you had to be 16 to drive for them. So like I've been in this game ever since it started. And I think the main draw here is like the flexibility. Like a lot of young people, like they don't see themselves, the people I talk to, they don't see themselves working at the same job for like 40 years. Like that's just not something that a lot of people are looking forward to or like even thinking about at all. So I think the gig economy really provides people with a lot of flexibility to really like choose what they want to do, to like flow between things, to try as many things as they want. Because I think that's one of the most important things for young people is just get out there and try different things. Because if you like pigeonhole yourself into one thing at the age of like 20 and expect you know what you're going to do with the rest of your life, like, I don't know, that just seems crazy to me. Like I'm 20 years old. I have no freaking clue what I'm going to do with the rest of my life. Like that book is so wide open. There's so many blank pages that I can just write whatever I want on. So I'm just like, I can't even imagine somebody like locking themselves into a path that early on, if not even earlier. So I think the gig economy is just there because people, yeah, they don't want to lock themselves into something super long term that they don't know if they're actually going to find fulfillment in it. And just that flexibility. I mean, the word entrepreneur is super like glorified now, a lot more than it used to be. But I think people just want to have that flexibility, have that freedom to really structure their lives how they want to structure it. And I think that's just something that's really valuable and hasn't really been around for very long. But I think it's definitely here to stay for sure.
Yeah, I think, you know, you definitely raise a good point, because I think when you look back to like the 50s and the 60s, probably to your parents or your grandparents, you know, you got out of school, you got that one job, you stayed there until you retired. But now, you know, with the way that the world goes, you don't always have that security. So, you know, the gig economy is saying, okay, well, now it's time to keep your options open.
Exactly. I mean, my grandpa worked at 3M for like 45 years. And that was nothing out of the ordinary. I mean, that's what people were doing.
Right. And would you say that there are certain side hustles that are smarter than other ones, or just go out there and try them all?
Yeah, I mean, I would say just start trying stuff, to be honest, because, I mean, it really depends on what you like. I'm a huge proponent in, like, doing what you like is the way to go. Like, I'm just somebody who's very optimistic in the fact that like, if you find something that you're truly passionate about, I truly believe that you can make it work. Like, I truly believe that if you have something that you really love doing, I 100% believe that in the world we live in today, you can find a way to make $30, $40, $50, $60, $70,000 a year doing that. Like, I wholeheartedly believe that. There are so many opportunities today that it's mind-boggling how many things we have at our fingertips. So I think just go out there and start trying things. Something I talk about a lot is like operating in phases. So if you don't know what you want to do, what I like to do when I don't know what to do is I'll work in phases or kind of seasons. So I'll pick like one thing that I'm going to focus on for the next like 1 to 3 months. And I'm going to go all in on that thing. I'm going to learn as much as I can. I'm going to execute on that thing so hard. Like, I'm going to put all my time, energy, effort, attention into that thing because I want to figure out, is this something that I want to do? Yes or no? And by the end of that 1 to 3 months of going really all in, like executing, I see a lot of people just consuming content and not executing. The whole point of this is execute on to see if you actually like doing it. So you execute on that thing and then you figure out, okay, is this a yes or is this a no? If it's a no, awesome. If it's a yes, awesome. But then you just move forward with that information and then you keep operating in season until you really hone in on like, what are some core characteristics that you really enjoy? And then what are the things that you really don't enjoy? And then you can sort of find what you want to do from there. So I think it's really important, instead of bouncing around between 8,000 different things at the same time, like dedicate some time to one specific thing for you to really take some time, get kind of good at it so that you're not just in that early stage where like, oh, learning is fun. And I'm like learning how to do all this cool stuff. And then you got to get to the part where it gets a little bit challenging. Okay. Because if you never get to that part, then you're always going to think, oh, that's such a cool thing. Like, I'll come back to that. When you come back to it, it's going to be harder. So make sure that you give things some time, you really go all in on them, and you execute as well. Don't just get stuck in the learning phase where you're watching like 8 hours of YouTube videos a day, because sure, that's great. And you can call yourself a social media expert, but you're really not getting anywhere. You're really not like learning anything until you actually start doing.
Mm-hmm. And you know, that's funny. You're really kind of getting back to the point that you made about focus.
Mm.
You know, you really have to hone down to what you want to do and what you want to be good at.
100%. I mean, that's a huge, huge theme in my life right now, is just really developing that focus, because it's something that I'm still very much working on. And I just see how beneficial it is. And I'm even seeing results in my own life of just really being mindful about how focused I am and really taking my projects very strategically, going all in on them until they're done. So again, making a season out of it, going all in on this one thing until I complete it, until it is done, until it is amazing, and then moving on to the next thing, not trying to balance all these plates at the same time, because I just see that as inefficient and not really moving me closer to the place I want to be.
Okay. And I know one thing about you, you know, you're very heavily into social media promotion, more like I said, where you previously weren't even interested in it at all. Now, person like me, I never really dealt much with it either. Mm-hmm. Do you have any pointers for what would make successful promotion, you know, to get people more engaged and follow you on social media? That's been tricky for me as a podcaster. I've been trying things, but you know, you're throwing darts at the wall, I guess, you know?
It's tricky. So I have really realized, I mean, this, I'll answer your question, but the first thing I want to say is that I've really realized that social media is not a core component of my business right now. I've realized I actually took the last week off of social media. I deleted Instagram off my phone and I did not do anything with social media for that whole week. It was really, really eye-opening. The first thing I realized is how addicted I was to social media. And I mean addicted. Like, I found myself that first day, that Monday, I was reaching for my phone. I was like, oh, I should check my DMs now. Oh, I should post to my story now. Oh, I should check on this now. And I was like, dude, you are so addicted to this thing. It's disgusting. Like, wow. Like, I knew it was a problem. I knew it was really like detracting from my focus, but I didn't realize the extent to it until I really just like cut it out. And I was just looking at myself like, dude, what has happened to you? You are a mess. It was crazy. So doing that was extremely eye-opening. And by the end of the week, I was like, I got so much more done this week. I landed more clients. I made more money. I built out my network even more. Like, I had this like idea in my head of like, I've been on a podcast episode every single day. So I'm like, and the way that I network with my guests and reach out to them is on Instagram. So I just had this idea in my head of like, well, I can't get off Instagram because then my podcast dies. And that's how I usually promote my podcast as well. So I was like, well, there's no way I can do this. Like, it just can't happen. But Then I sort of shifted my mindset. I took the old Robert Kiyosaki, Rich Dad, Poor Dad approach. And instead of saying, I can't do this, I asked myself, how can I do this? So I said, how can I get off social media? And so what I did is I still manage a couple clients' accounts from my old social media marketing agency. So I brought in a buddy of mine. I paid him like $150 to manage all my accounts for the week. And I was like, man, just take care of this. I just need to get off of Instagram. So I paid him some money. I deleted Instagram off my phone. And it was crazy. Super eye-opening. Would highly recommend it to anyone who is extremely active on social media. Like, take some time. It's not going to kill your business. If it is going to kill your business, I'd be very worried about your business if it's 100% reliant on the fact that you're on social media every day. Might be a little bit of a red flag. So by doing that, recognize that social media, Instagram, not a necessary part of my business, and that I can continue to grow my podcast and continue to grow my income without being on Instagram 24/7. So that's the first thing I would say, is that it's not like social media, not an essential business tool for everyone. For some people, it can be, but for the most part, not a sin. But if you do want to improve your social media game, what I would tell you is it's simple, but it's not easy. Okay. It's simple, but it's not easy. I find a lot of things to be simple, but not easy. And simple, but not easy is that you need to post consistent, valuable content every single day. Like that's how I grew. I grew my page from like 1,000 to like probably like 10,000 followers in like 4 week span, maybe, just by posting consistent, valuable content every single day. I think I was posting like 3 times per day, just valuable content that I found, that I created. And through that, I was able to grow the page very quickly. And then I kind of realized that that's not really what I wanted to be doing, because what ended up happening, and what happens if you, because I was just posting like viral entrepreneurship content. So what happened was I got a lot of followers that were interested in entrepreneurship, but they weren't necessarily interested in Apple Crider. So there was kind of a trade-off there. I was able to get more followers that I mean, they engaged in my stuff. They're real people, but they're just not as interested in Apple Crider as I would have liked. And if I would have grown my account more slowly over time, I could have made sure that everyone that found my stuff was super interested in me and not just in the like viral content that I was posting. But it's kind of a trade-off. And I would say that the biggest thing is just like, make sure that you're really connecting with people, because social media is a tool for connections. Like, it's not a tool to boost your ego. It's not a tool to like boost your numbers. Like, it's a tool to connect with people. And that's what I really come back to every single time. So I make sure that I'm really having quality connections with people rather than just like trying to boost my numbers, because my ego doesn't need to get any bigger than it is. Like, I don't want to use social media as like an ego tool. Just personally, I see a lot of people doing that. And like, if you want to do that, that's totally your prerogative. But like, I would just prefer to use it as a tool to really meaningfully connect with people. And that's where I see the most like fulfillment in what I do, is really seeing other people grow, not just seeing like my number of followers grow.
Okay. And I know you did an episode about certain apps that you've used on like on your phone or your tablet that actually helped you earn a little money.
Yeah. So, back in, I guess it was probably when I was 16, I was, like I said, I was getting super into the gig economy. I was delivering food all the time, was doing all these like random like side gigs. I actually have some of the, well, I don't think I still have the app on my phone, but like they still text me from time to time. It's this event, it's an app that like lets you work at events for the day. So like if an event is coming to town and they need to hire a bunch of workers for the day, they'll hire this app. This app will text out a bunch of people and they'll say, hey, do you want to work at the convention center today from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m.? Yes or no? So one of those apps I actually just did like 2 weeks ago, because somebody that I knew was coming to town, they were hosting a conference and I wanted to go. And they were like, we'll pay you to go watch this conference. And I was like, fantastic. I could use some personal development and get paid to do it. So I still do those from time to time. But yeah, so some of the apps that I use, the one that I use the most is probably called Postmates. And it's basically like Uber Eats. But yeah, you just basically deliver food. It was super fun. I got to learn my city very well. Just like driving around, listening to podcasts all day. It was like a super sweet gig. Sometimes was making like $30 an hour plus, which was super cool. After gas, probably came down to about, I don't know, like 25 or something. But definitely not like terrible money for a 16-year-old. I mean... cool stuff to do on the weekends and during school breaks and during the summer and whatnot. So that was an app that I used a lot. I think the one that I'm talking about with that books you for events is called Shift Gig. They might have rebranded to Headway. One of those two names will get you there.
Okay.
But that one's really cool for like local events and just like one day gigs. But those are the two biggest ones that I use. And between those two, I mean, I probably made close to like, I don't know, somewhere around $5,000-$7,000 while I was like 17 years old, which I mean, again, not crazy money, but like, for a 17-year-old, just like working on some weekends here and there. Wasn't terrible.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to throw you a hypothetical question at you. I know that you're into investing in the stock market. Mm-hmm. What would you do if somebody gave you $100 right now?
And I had to invest it in the stock market? Or
you
I could do whatever?
No, anything. If you had your option as to what would you do with that money?
$100. That's a good question. So I think what I would do is, oh man, that's tricky because, oh, that's such a good question. That's such a good question.
We can skip over it if you need a little time to mull it over.
I think what I would do is I would, oh my gosh, like I almost wish I had $0 instead of having $100 because I feel like that would be easier. But if I had $100, I would probably, oh my gosh, okay. I'll just think about it if I had $0 and then we'll think about adding in the $100. So okay. If I had $0, what I would do is I would learn a valuable skill, okay? That's like the most important thing that I see a lot of entrepreneurs lacking is they just want to dive into something and they want to, they create a podcast or they want to start like selling online or something, but they don't have a valuable skill to offer to people. They wanted to build their network, but they don't have anything to offer people. They want to find mentors, but they don't have anything to bring to the table themselves. So what I would do if I was just starting off is learn a valuable skill. And again, that could really be any number of things, okay? Podcasting is a valuable skill. Digital marketing is a valuable skill. Facebook ads is a valuable skill. Learning how to market effectively is a valuable skill. I mean, there's so many different valuable skills that you can learn. Copywriting is a super valuable skill. High ticket closing and sales, that's valuable skills as well. Like, learn something. Take the time to really like dive deep onto like YouTube videos and podcasts and just all the content you can find about learning that one valuable skill. And like I said before, guys, operate in seasons. Okay. So pick one skill that you want to learn for the next 1 to 3 months, go all in on that. And if it really clicks with you, that's great. If it doesn't click with you, that's also great. Move on to the next thing. So finding that valuable skill is the biggest thing. And then from there, pick a group of people that could benefit from your skill and bring that skill to those people. That's the basics of business. I mean, of entrepreneurship in the way I see it is creating value, like learning a skill and then using that skill to solve people's problems. Okay. So learn the skill, solve people's problems. And I don't know, maybe spend that $100 on Facebook ads, promoting yourself to those individuals to get in front of them to solve their problems if you're having trouble reaching them. I mean, that's what I would say if I had $100. I'd learn the skill and I'd use $100 to promote myself.
There you go. You arrived at the answer. Congratulations. There's a lifestyle that's come around called FIRE.
Yeah.
Financially independent, retire early. What is your take on that?
I love it, man. I love it. I'm super active in the personal finance creator community. There's an event called FinCon that I went to last year for the first time. And then this year, I'm actually going back and speaking. And it's a whole community of people who are creating content in the financial space, either podcasts, blogs, YouTube channels. And they're huge. There's some huge proponents there of the FIRE movement. And I'm super on board. Like, I think people should like take control of their finances early on, not wait until they're like 45 to think about investing and think about preparing for retirement. Like, if you can get a hold of that early, like, I know people who retired at like 26. Like, that's crazy. Like, I can't even, like, people would never even imagine that like 20 years ago. Like, it's insane. So I'm a huge proponent of that. And I'm a huge proponent of people taking control of their finances earlier and earlier and earlier on. Like, that's the whole mission that I'm on, is like, I want to get people thinking about money early on so they don't have to think about it as much later on, because I don't want people to get to the age of 50 and be like, oh shoot, I should have been saving in my 401k, right? Like, yeah, you should have. And you really, really missed the boat there, because like, compound interest is crazy, guys. Like, if you guys have never played around with a compound interest calculator, literally Google compound interest calculator and look at what happened when you save $1,000, not even $1,000, $500 a month, starting at the age of 20 until the age of 65 when you retire. Literally, you are a millionaire. Crazy. $500 a month. That's not even that much money. That's less than $20 a day. And I mean, for some people, that might seem like a lot right now, but it's insane how compound interest works, because if you wait until you're 25, that amount gets cut in half pretty much. If you wait till you're 30, that amount gets pretty much cut in half again. So it's bananas to think about how exponentially important it is that you start investing early, because again, time is your best friend, but it can also be your worst enemy if you wait too long. So I'm huge on FIRE movement. I'm huge on taking control of your money today. and not waiting until tomorrow.
Okay. And since this is a show about podcasts, and we always have podcasts hosts on, I'm curious as to what podcast you're listening to. I'm sure you probably have a pretty good selection there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of all over the place with podcasts. Lately, I've been listening to a lot of Jim Rohn. So I got this, it's not quite a podcast, but I got on Audible. There's this 12-hour collection, like best of Jim Rohn, that one of my podcast guests actually recommended to me. I've already listened to the thing about 1.5 times over, and I've just gotten so much value out of it. I love Jim Rohn so much. That dude, like literally, if you listen to like the personal development guys today, 99% of what they say is just Jim Rohn regurgitated. Like this dude is like, he's got so much amazing, amazing content. So that was kind of a cheat answer. So I'll give you a real answer. I'm also listening to Entrepreneurs on Fire by John Lee Dumas. That one's a classic for sure. I actually just had John on the podcast, and he's an absolute legend. I'm also listening to Smart Passive Income from Pat Flynn. I really like the Online Marketing Made Easy podcast by Amy Porterfield. She's a legend as well. But those are the three big ones that I'm listening to, I would say. But for the most part, I really do bounce around a lot. I like Planet Money actually a lot by NPR. That one's kind of a classic. I've been listening to NPR since I was like 8 years old in the car with my parents driving to school. So that one's a good one for sure.
Okay. And this, of course, brings us to the portion of the show where we call it shameless self-promotion.
Ba-ba-ba-bum. Shameless self-promotion. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-bum. Shameless self-promotion. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-bum.
And that's where you get to let our listeners know where they can get in touch with you or where you're going to be.
Awesome. Well, I
am yours.
Yeah, thank you so much. Well, the best place to find me is my podcast, Young Smart Money. You can find that on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, all the podcast platforms. If you guys want to learn more about how I started my podcast and grew it to a top 100 business podcast, you can head over to applecreator.com/podcast, put together a free like video training for you guys. If you want to like learn about how I was able to do it, monetize it, connect with influencers, all that good stuff. And then one more freebie I want to give you all is if you go to applecreator.com/cheat sheet, you can download the free cheat sheet where I break down the 16 different income streams that led me to create a $10,000 per month income stream with my podcast. So if you guys want to learn how that works, that's applecreator.com/cheat sheet. Otherwise, that's me. Instagram is applecreatorofficial. If you guys want to connect with me there, I'm planning on being a lot less active over there, but I'll still respond to all your messages eventually, just might not be within a few days.
And if you're listening very carefully right now, that's the sound of people's heads, the gears going on in their brain saying, I think I'm going to make me some money. And that's what it's all about, Apple, right?
There you go. Providing value, solving problems, making some money in the process. That's the name of the game.
Yeah. So like I said, check out Young Smart Money. You will definitely learn a lot, you know, not just about people, but what you can do to be like those people as well. And, you know, you've definitely got a great leader here, you know, leading the charge.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Jim.
Apple Crider, thank you very much for being on the show.
Jim, it's been a pleasure.
And now it's time for Sherpa Suggestions.
If you like podcasts like Apple's, here's a few other podcasts to check out that have to do with making money and entrepreneurship. How to Money, Eventual Millionaire, The Gary V Audio Experience. He's very popular among the entrepreneurial crowd. How I Built This with Guy Raz, and Snacks Daily from Robinhood Financial. And just a word of warning, everybody. Be careful who you take your financial advice from, or else you'll end up like me, trying to sell combination Thighmaster ice cream maker. Okay, everybody, I guess that's the show. Thanks a lot for listening, and thanks again to Apple Crider for being my guest this week. We've got some special guests coming up, so make sure you're coming back every Wednesday for a new episode. And don't forget, you can follow me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Too Many Podcasts. For Twitter and Instagram, it's a two instead of the word T-O-O, but whatever. If you want to email me,
It's Jim, the podcast Sherpa, at gmail.com. Oh, and before I forget, a special thanks to our latest sponsor, Audible. And if all of you out there in Podcastia could do me a little favor, if you're listening to me on Apple Podcasts, or if you're listening on Stitcher or on iHeartRadio, if you check out those apps or even on the computer, you'll see there are spots where you can leave a rating and review. If you could put in a couple of nice words for me, I'd really appreciate it. This way we can get more people to listen and enjoy the show as well as you're enjoying it. At least I hope you're enjoying it. You know, you could say nice things like, I'll bet he's kind to animals. I'll bet he's funnier than syphilis. You know, stuff like that. I don't know. So until next time, like we Sherpas like to say, keep your feet in the stars and keep pushing your head in the ground. Or something like that. Bruce, can you please show them the door? Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Too Many Podcasts. Please disperse. You can go home now. I said you can go home now. Viva la Chapalition. Viva la Chapalition. Oh. Yell, come back now, you hear?
Hold on. Don't go just yet. Just want to remind you that next week, we will be having an interview with Nyla from the podcast Greener Thoughts. And the week after that, we will be featuring an interview with Jasmine Shojai, Australian supermodel turned actress. Make sure you come back and check them out, okay?